From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Well, this is going to be an interesting hour of the show, because at least for the first couple segments here, I want to talk to all of you about some experiments in which you can participate. And as I said earlier in the show, one of the great things about having a radio program that a lot of people listen to is that you have the opportunity to ask your audience once in a while to cooperate and to give you feedback if there is some kind of a new technique or a mass consciousness kind of experiment that you want to try out. And you know, you reach a wide variety of people. And so that's sort of the primary theme for this hour of the show. I'm going to start by telling all of you about a technique that I am experimenting with that I've never talked publicly about before that may be able to help you solve many of the problems in your life. Now, again, the question is, you know, is this going to work or not? And that's why all of you are so necessary here. Here's what it's based upon. For thousands of years, people from cultures around the world have believed that when you speak a word, that word can actually carry some kind of tangible power. It's almost like magical thinking. And I'll give you one example. You've probably seen these movies and TV shows where some exorcist is trying to get rid of a demon, and he needs to know the demon's name. And unless he gets the name, he feels like he can't quite focus what he wants properly. And so that's a big part of the scenario, learning the name of the demon. Once you know it, well, then you can hone on it and you can remove it. On the other hand, you have cases where people have used a name that they believe is very powerful and positive. The name of God, for example, is still a very strictly held secret in many different cultures. They have what they believe is the true name of God, and they guard that secret as the most important secret in the world, because if you have the true name of God, you can wield it. It's very similar to people doing things just, you know, as we hear all the time, in the name of Jesus Christ. So if there is this certain phenomenon where you can take a name and apply it in a way that allows you to have some influence over your surroundings, and that sort of phenomenon can be applied on a vaster, more personal realm or in a more personal way, it would explain also why that magical symbols have power, because magical symbols are usually just representations of magical words. And sometimes these symbols don't make any sense, because sometimes the words are like gobbledygook, and that's because these are words that don't necessarily have to fit within the particular lexicon of a certain language, like English or Spanish or German, etc. Well, this phenomenon, this idea that learning the name of something will allow you to focus in on it and change it, is actually called, simply enough, true name. And, in fact, if you get online and you look up true name, you'll find some very fascinating material that goes back through many different points in history, sort of talking about how cultures have utilized this. And so, in order to give you a kind of comprehensive overview, I just want to read to you some portions of the Wikipedia article here on true name. And of course, even kids they grow up hearing the story of Rumpelstiltskin. You know, that's the secret name. You know, you can't get rid of the little, you know, wicked Rumpelstiltskin unless you learn his name. So here is what the article says about this phenomenon. A true name is a name of a thing or being that expresses or is somehow identical with its true nature. The notion that language or some specific sacred language refers to things by their true names has been central to philosophical study, as well as various traditions of magic, religious invocation, and mysticism, like mantras, for example, since antiquity. In fact, here it says Socrates considers, in one of his writings, the possibility that names are conventional or natural. That is to say, whether language is a system of arbitrary signs, or whether words have an intrinsic relation to the things they signify. So here's some examples of this. In Hellenistic Judaism, they emphasized the divine nature of logos. The true name of God plays a central role in Kabbalism, and to some extent in Sufism. Now, we're going back thousands of years. The ancient Jews considered God's true name so potent that its invocation conferred upon the speaker tremendous power over his creations. To prevent abuse of this power, as well as to avoid blasphemy, the name of God was always taboo and increasingly disguised, so that by the time of Jesus, their high priest was supposedly the only individual who spoke it aloud, and then only in the Holy of Holies upon the Day of Atonement. Also, in biblical context, in the tale of Jacob's nighttime wrestling with an anonymous angel, the angel refuses to reveal his own name to Jacob, even after the angel's submission at dawn. Thereafter, Jacob obtains a new name, which signifies his successful struggle to God and man, and names the place to commemorate his surviving encounter with the divine. Now, contemporary pre-industrial peoples guard secret names only used in solemn rituals. It says, according to practices in folklore, knowledge of a true name allows one to affect another person or being magically. It is stated that knowing someone's or something's true name therefore gives the person who knows the true name power over them. This effect is used in many tales, such as the German fairy tale of Rumpelstiltskin and all of its variants. The girl can free herself from the power of a supernatural helper who demands her child by learning its name. Goes on to say, there is a legend of Saint Olaf who recounts how a troll built a church for the saint at a fantastic speed and price, but the saint was able to free himself by learning the troll's name during a walk in the woods. Similarly, the belief that children who were not baptized at birth were in particular danger of having fairies kidnap them and leave changelings in their place may stem from their unnamed state. In Scandinavian variants of the ballad Earl Brand, the hero can defeat all his enemies until the heroine, running away with him, pleads with him by name to spare her youngest brother. It goes on to say also in Scandinavia, more magical beasts, such as the Nyx, could be defeated by calling their name. For the same reason, significant objects in Germanic mythology, which were considered to have some kind of intrinsic personality, had their own names too. For example, this is in the legendary sword Balmung. So this goes on and on about, you know, situations, cases, in which knowing the name of something literally gives you some direct power over it. And I can tell you, just from my own personal explorations into various, you know, underground cultures, secret societies and, you know, ritualistic philosophies, that certain words are so precious, are considered so powerful, that they can only be spoken under very, very particular circumstances. You have to have a certain number of people present. Those people must be of a certain caliber. They must be engaged in a particular ceremony. And in some cases, the word or the name is so powerful that one person alone cannot say it. You may have three or four people there, and each person will know one part of the name. It's almost like when you have these stories about the nuclear codes out there. Like, no one person has all the codes. There's, you know, you have to have a combination of people who all know a part, and they all stick their keys in and punch their code in, so that there's an agreement that, you know, this is serious enough to be used at this time. So it makes sense to me that if we know thoughts have power. And they certainly do, because everything begins with a thought. I mean, if you look around yourself right now, everything that humans have made, every chair, every table, every structure, every computer, those things began with a vision in someone's head. And then they took that vision and they started figuring out how to craft the physical world to match it. So therefore, if we know that this kind of power exists, is there a way that we can take that and that we can use it in a somewhat novel way in order to defeat a lot of problems that are around us all the time, every day? Now, we're coming up on a break, but when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about the technique that I want all of you to try over the next week. It's very, very simple. You can start using it tonight, as a matter of fact. You can start using it as soon as I tell you about it. I'm going to give you some examples of how you can use this technique. But it's a technique that regards taking whatever problem you may have. If it's a health problem, a financial problem, if it's a problem with your happiness or your mental state, whatever it is, whether it's something physical or something that you think of as abstract, a technique you can start to experiment with to take those things and then name them in a certain way in order to deal with them. So hopefully that will make much more sense when we come back. This is the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight. It's presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And don't forget, you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? We'll be right back.
back to Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you may and you should call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. Again, that is 828-298-5402. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, and you'll find a link to all kinds of other cool stuff, including the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home, the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price guaranteed. It's funny because there are other companies out there that are promoting solar generators for the home, and they make a big deal, and they'll say, hey, call us, and we'll give you a 50% discount. Well, yeah, of course they will, because their generators are 50% of the power of ours. You have to look at the amp hours, how long it's going to store that charge, how quickly you can recharge it. If you sit down, you actually look at the stats. You don't just look at the outside of what the thing looks like physically. It's what's inside that makes the difference. So go watch the video at sunshinesimple.com, and you'll understand more about it and why you should get one, because it's nice to know that you have power all the time. It doesn't matter if you have fuel or not. It's quiet. It's clean. It's Sunshine Simple. Okay, let's get back to this experiment that I've been talking about. I'm hoping that all of you will participate. It's very simple. It's based upon this phenomenon I just explained called True Name. Similar to the idea that if, hey, you're an exorcist and you're fighting a demon, well, you want to learn the demon's name. And if you can find the demon's name, then you can command it and have some control over it, some power over it. So bearing this all in mind, I began to wonder, what if a person were to take whatever problem or problems they may have, whether it be something physical, like, oh man, you know, my knee's been killing me for a month, or whether it's something a little bit more intangible, like I can't find a job, or, you know, I got all these bills to pay, I don't know how I'm going to pay them, or I've been feeling depressed, or, you know, why can't I find a companion? Whatever this problem is that you have, what happens if you name that problem very specifically? Okay, you give it a specific name. And when you give it that name, you personify it in a way. And once you have a name for this problem, then simply enough, you think of it. You use your imagination, and you think of it as being an embodied spirit. This problem is a spirit, and you call that spirit by name, and you tell it, get the hell out of here. Get away from me. You're just like that exorcist trying to drive away that demon. And every time this problem starts to bother you, you drive it away by name. Now, of course, this is something that you can either do quietly, you can do it mentally, because obviously people are going to think you're nuts if you're running around screaming out loud to some intangible thing that you have named. But the point is, your thoughts and your intentions now have a very specific way of focusing, because before, your problem in your mind, subliminally, so subconsciously, may have been kind of a mixture of a wide range, a wide scope of issues. And when you have a wide scope of issues, it feels overwhelming. You feel kind of powerless. You don't know where to begin. It just seems like a big gray territory that you can't figure out how to get a handle on it, right? So when you put a name on it, though, and that one name suddenly embodies all of those things, and they all snap into this one representation, Now it's a much more efficient way of focusing on it. So over the past week, I've been trying this out. And let me give you an example. I've also been talking to my wife, Lauren, about this. And Lauren has problems with her elbows. They call it tennis elbow. And she has had this problem for years. She has been to the doctor numerous times, and they give her cortisone shots in the elbows and that kind of thing. And so as I started talking to her about this concept, and she said, well, I'm going to try that with my elbows. Now, Lauren is not one of these, you know, mystical, metaphysical, guru, woohoo type people, okay? She hears me talking about all kinds of weird new techniques all the time. She's not easily impressed by any of it. But she said, you know, I'm desperate to get some relief from this elbow pain. I want to try it. So she named the pain in her right elbow a certain name, and then she named the pain in her left elbow a certain name, and then she started speaking to each one of those names and saying, get out of here. She didn't say it out loud. She did this on her own. I don't know exactly what she said, but she told me she did it. And then she went to bed. The next day, she got up. She came down the stairs. She said, it worked. I said, huh? She goes, it worked. She was so excited. She goes, my pain is gone and my elbows. And she was just, you know, flabbergasted. And the funny thing is, I also was using it and having success. I don't want to tell you what I was using it on, though, because there are two reasons. One, it's something I wouldn't want to talk about on the radio. It's more of a personal thing. And secondly, I also don't want to sort of influence too much what your experiences are by planting too many suggestions in your head. I want to see if this technique can work on its own as is. But one thing that was interesting that Lauren said, she said the names that she gave the pain in each of her elbows are silly, stupid names that make no sense, names that you would never even think of applying to elbow pain. But it was the first thing that popped into her head. And I have found that that is, for me, most effective as well. So don't sit around all day and mull over what you think the perfect name would be for this problem. Just go with the first wacky word. Doesn't even have to be a name, okay? It doesn't have to be, you know, John or Mary or Gary. You know, it could just be literally some kind of a word that would seem like nonsense. But as long as it matches the problem somehow and it sticks in your mind, go with that. That is probably one of the reasons that so many of these words associated with quote-unquote magic sound like nonsense, sound like gobbledygook. And when you, as soon as that name or that word that you can label that problem with pops into your head, then again, use your imagination and you start addressing that problem as if it is an evil spirit that you are trying to drive out of your life. So I want every single one of you who are listening to this program to come up with just one or two things that you want to drive out of your life, whether it's something physical or it's something circumstantial or it's something mental or spiritual, whatever you think it is. Do what I've just explained. Put a name on it. Start addressing it that way. And then every time it pops up, you know, you do it every time. Every time this thing comes into your mind or causes a problem, you say, get out of here. Leave me alone. Be very aggressive, very direct with it. You can either do it out loud or just in your mind. And hopefully, after a short period of time, maybe you'll have something happen, you know, instantly. Maybe it will take hours. Maybe it will take days. I don't know. But I want you to email me. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com and email me and tell me about your experiences applying the concept of true name to your problem and then driving it out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And then also, I have another experiment that I want to tell you about This one is an experiment regarding UFOs. And yes, once again, all of you can participate. Tonight's program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for more on Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Thanks for spending your evening with us. My name is Joshua P. Warren. And, well, you know, tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You can go directly to the Wright's Coin Shop website, W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com, or you'll find a link at SpeakingOfStrange.com. The number is 828-298-5402. Next hour, we're going to talk more with Shelley about this, but I think, from what I've seen, this is maybe the best time to buy gold and silver in years. But we'll get back to that. So, yes, I've been telling you about this experiment that I want to hear from you about. True name, naming your problem, treating it as an actual entity, and then driving it away. Again, go to joshuapwarren.com to email me, or you can just go, you know, here's my email address. It's simple, contact@joshuapwarren.com. Please let me know what results that you're having. I'm very curious to see how this is working out for you. You know, Shelley, you are a person who has always taken an enormous interest in the more metaphysical and esoteric and spiritual things. What are your thoughts on this experiment?
I think it's a very interesting experiment. The thing that I wondered about was, will this work on something like pain or some, you know, just some problem in your life, since, you know, the whole idea behind knowing something's true name is that names have power. You know, like with demons, if you know a demon's name, then you have power over it. If it's not, if, you know, pain is not an intelligent being, so I wondered if it would work, but I'll give it a try. It sounds, you know, from what you said about Lauren's tennis elbows, it sounds like maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if, and of course, you know, there's never any substitute for going to a doctor and using, you know, whatever science can provide for you. But if you've done that, you know, like she has, she's been to the doctor, they give her the cortisone shots, you know, it only does so much. This is something else that you can just try out. And it makes you wonder how much of what is around us is, in fact, a tulpa that we create and we don't even realize we're creating it.
Well, that is another thing I wanted to ask. You know, in giving it a name, in giving this whole problem a name, are you creating a tulpa?
Yeah. I would say, to a certain extent, I think just about everything is probably related to tulpa creation. Yeah. And you know, that means you can maybe create good ones and bad ones. And control what's there. So, you know, it's funny because true name historically is based upon this idea that, well, things just have a name already and you just have to figure them out. Well, the purpose of this experiment is to say, well, maybe it doesn't need to have a name already. Maybe you can give it a name and then do the same thing with it. So this is going to be really interesting to see what happens, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sam, you have any thoughts before we move on to the next experimental topic?
Nothing that can't go without moving on.
Okay. And there's so many things related to this that I guess I'll just say quickly, we had an interesting conversation during the break, Sam, where I was talking about the idea between positive and negative space and how that people, they use the word positive often synonymously with optimistic, and they use the word negative as a synonym for pessimistic, but that's not exactly the case. If you want to look at it from a physical perspective, if you're negative, you're creating literally a negative space around you, meaning a vacuum, and that vacuum can get filled by things that you may not like. But a positive space is a space that you're filling with your own energy, your own intentions. And so it's always better to have positive space around you that you're filling rather than negative space, which is this void which will be filled by other things like other people's intentions that may not be so good for you. And so it's always important to understand the relationship between positive and negative thinking. And it may be that some of these problems we have in our lives we unwittingly created because that we allowed a negative space to be filled by something that we don't like. And maybe by naming that thing and then driving it out and focusing on it, we can take that space back again and make it a positive space for us.
When you say name it, though, specifically name it, I mean, are you meaning name it Doug?
Like, yeah.
Or call it Snuffleupagus or something. Or
yeah. That's right.
Not face or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, or you can call it, you know, Wibblombia or whatever. Or you can, you know, just whatever the first word is. It doesn't have to be a name you're familiar with, but it can be. Yeah, yeah, it could be Doug, could be Snuffleupagus, you know, could be Zimbacon or whatever. You know, it's just like whatever that first name or word is that pops in probably is the one you should go with, even if it doesn't make any sense to the logical side of your brain. We're dealing with the creative side of the brain to see what power can be unleashed from that source point.
Or I would think maybe something that just doesn't sound scary, you know?
Well, if you're dealing with a scary problem, though, I mean, maybe that would be the first thing that pops into your mind. I don't know.
What, something scary?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, what I'm getting at is that, you know, way, way, way back, you know, when ghosts used to be a scary thing for me and there was, you know, something around. When I lived in the tuberculosis sanatorium that was haunted, I made up a name for a ghost I had, and I called it Fred. Because to me, Fred was the, you know, Fred. That's not a scary name.
Right. Well, that's a very good point as well, you know. And I understand what you're saying, that you're more apt to be able to boss it around and feel like you're honestly affecting it if it doesn't seem so intimidating.
Well, let me just play devil's advocate here. Fred Krueger.
Freddy. Okay. All right. Well, you get a point there.
Yeah, just one word. Don't never use the last name.
Oh, is that how it goes?
Yeah, when it comes to Freddy, yeah.
Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Okay, here is the next experiment. And for those of you who have been listening to this show for a while, and by the way, I'm very happy to say that I've gotten great feedback from all the listeners who are happy that our podcasts are now back on iTunes. If you didn't know that, just, you know, keep that in mind. We were on iTunes a long time ago, and then we changed the whole setup of the show, and then we were off of iTunes. Now we're back on iTunes, and so over the past week or two, I've gotten, you know, all these people emailing me, really happy about that. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find our regular podcast that you can download to your device. You'll find the link to the iTunes. You'll find the RSS feed, all that kind of stuff. We're totally up to date now on all the different ways you can listen to this show. So we're expanding more and more. And for people who have been listening for, we'll say, you know, a year, either to this show or Darkness Radio with Dave Schrader or Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, you may remember an experiment that I did last year called the Arecibo Project. And that's the real root of this new experiment, so let me go ahead and recap that for you. This was an experiment done last August, and August is the anniversary of the WOW signal, which was a signal that was picked up at a telescope in the 1970s from outer space, and it seemed like some kind of an intelligent, well-designed signal, like it came from an alien spacecraft or something, but then it disappeared and nobody's been able to figure out what caused it. So the Arecibo experiment was set up because, you know, here I am in Puerto Rico where you have the Arecibo telescope, which is the largest radio satellite telescope on Earth. I got all these different ham radio operators and people like that from this area to participate in broadcasting a message back to the aliens, asking them to appear on the anniversary of the WOW signal and give us some kind of an appearance or some kind of communication at a certain set of GPS coordinates. And then when I talked about this on the radio, I said, you know, you don't have to just be here in Puerto Rico, though. Wherever you are around the world, if you have the tools to broadcast a signal, and you know what's appropriate and what's not legally to broadcast, well, then here is a message you can get if you go to arecibo.com. Here's the message we want to transmit with the GPS coordinates. And people all over the world went to the website. They got the message. They broadcast this message into space on the anniversary of the WOW signal. And sure enough, that day, on camera, I captured a weird-looking flying saucer-like disc-shaped object that appeared, and it very quickly dipped down in front of the camera and then shot straight up in the sky, making a whistling sound. And when we compared that whistling sound to the sound made in the original WOW signal, and we looked at them on spectrographs side by side, they were extremely similar. Well, here's what a lot of people didn't know. I actually had two sets of coordinates for that experiment. One set was a GPS set for people who were broadcasting radio waves. The other was for a wishing machine experiment. And guess where the UFO popped up? It popped up exactly at the coordinates where we were using the wishing machine. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you what that means for our new experiment and how you can participate. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Trick Avenue. Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher.
We're in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Now, remember, next hour, well, we call that the Dark 30 hour. We air that late at night because, well, that's when we talk about some of the more outrageous stories, more sordid and seedy news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So you can determine whether or not you think it is appropriate for you and your other listeners in the area to be around for hour number three of tonight's program, Dark 30. But getting back to the experimental topic at hand, well, we found when we did the Arecibo experiment that the most significant result that we got with a UFO showing up and on camera and flying away, producing some kind of a signal, was at the set of GPS coordinates where we had a whole radionics wishing machine set up. Now, it was very, very close to the site where we had the coordinates for the radio broadcast. But we did create a separate set of coordinates that was a little bit farther away just so we could test. And we had the best results with the wishing machine. So, that said, a lot of you listening to this program own wishing machines. And my friend Dave Schrader hosts Darkness Radio in the Twin Cities. He also is a guest host for Coast to Coast AM from time to time. And I have been on his show a lot talking about the wishing machine. And so a lot of his listeners have a wishing machine. And so we decided, hey, enough listeners have wishing machines now. Let's do an experiment, a mass consciousness experiment, starting with the people who have wishing machines. We want to get everybody who has a wishing machine to participate with this experiment, if you can. Now, I understand many of you who have wishing machines are using them for a personal purpose. And you may not want to stop right now to switch over to this collective experiment. That's fine. But for those of you that do want to participate, we decided we want to create another UFO, but this time we want it to appear in the sky under circumstances where a lot of people can see it, a lot of witnesses will be there. And it turns out that Dave Schrader and I, along with his producer, Tim Dennis, are all going to be together in person in August at the Michigan Paracon 6. Now, this event is August 7th and 8th in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Dave is doing a program on supernatural crime investigation. His producer, Tim, is doing a program on EVP. I'm presenting a program on the Bermuda Triangle. The second and last night of the event, which is Saturday, August the 8th, there's going to be a VIP dinner that night with Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters. And an hour after that dinner, we're going to go outside at 10 p.m., and that's where we want to see a UFO. So let me give all of you who have a wishing machine this information. But if you don't have a wishing machine, I also want you to start creating a thought form. That means putting an intention out there to help this manifest. It's all about using the thought form. Especially people who have the wishing machine are going to have the ability to tune their desire in a very specific way. But all thoughts will be helpful. So here's when we want this to happen. We want this to occur, so write this down. And actually, you don't have to write it down if you go to joshuapwarren.com and subscribe for my free e-newsletter, because I'm going to be sending out a newsletter very soon with this information and even more specific instructions. But here's the idea. We want this UFO to appear on Saturday, August the 8th, 2015, around 10 p.m. local time. And now local time there is going to be Eastern time, so it's the same as New York City, okay? We want it to appear over top of the resort where we're doing this conference. It's the Key Wadden Casino. That's spelled K-E-W-A-D-I-N, the Keewaden Casino, at 2186 Shunk Road in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Now, when I send the free e-newsletter update, and by the way, I pay for that, so there are no ads, there's no spam. It just comes from my fingers directly to your inbox. I will point out not only, again, the location, I'll put in the GPS coordinates as well. I'll even have some pictures and things, so you'll have a very, very clear idea of where we want this to appear. Saturday, August 8th, 2015, around 10 p.m. local time, over the Keewaden Casino in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I'm going to be standing out there. I presume Dave Schrader will be there, and who knows how many other people, because this is a very well-attended event. I think over 1,000 people will be there attending the event, paranormal investigators with cameras. Who knows what we'll have set up outside, and we want to manifest a UFO that night. So, again, joshuapwarren.com is where you put your name into the e-newsletter bank, hit the submit button to get my e-newsletter with updates and specific instructions. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for the infamous Dark 30 Hour. I am Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.